That brings us to our gospel lesson. Comes to us from the sixth chapter of the Gospel of John, verses 24 to 35. And again, keep that Exodus passage in mind as we hear what Jesus has to say here. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found Jesus on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him who has sent, whom he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What works are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you join me in prayer? Oh God, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I don't know about you guys, but I just want to clarify that these are the appointed texts for today. I didn't pick these out of thin air. And so this is one of those times when the lectionary just seems to make too much sense. Because the frustration that I hear in these passages is frustration that I feel pulsating from creation right now. Does that resonate with anybody? We hear Moses dealing with a really, really fun group of people. Moses is tasked with leading the Israelites somewhere. They don't know where. They don't know how long it's going to... They have no GPS. They have no estimated time of arrival. They have nothing to go on other than the fact that God says, "Trust me, you'll get there." Okay. You know, like, how would we feel in that situation? And right now we have a lot of things that feel up in the air, that feel unknown, that feel shaky, when we don't know. It seems like we don't know where we're headed, because it seems like we take one step in one direction and then it's time to move back. And then it's time to take a step again and then it's time to move back. And so I understand the people's frustration, and I understand Moses' frustration in trying to lead them from one place to another. And in some ways, the people's grumblings make a lot of sense. Like, here we are on a journey to literally God knows where. I mean, that's literally where that phrase comes from. Like, we are on a journey to God knows where, and now we're starving and there's no food. And let's face it, folks, hangry is a thing. I work with teenagers. Hangry is a thing, okay? And so So Moses, yet again, poor Moses, goes to God and says, all right, they're annoyed again, and I need help here. And God says, all right, I got this. We'll take care of it. And that was a way that the people were able to keep going. Now, when you read the description of manna in the text, it's odd. You know, the text says that it looks like dew fallen on the ground, and they're supposed to go gather that and eat it. Yum. You know, like that doesn't sound all that appetizing. So I'm sure they're going, are we supposed to eat this? Is this how we diet? You know, like it's a different substance. It's something that they haven't seen before. But in God's provision, the people are able to see that they matter and that there is a companion on this journey, no matter how long that takes to go, and no matter where it is that they're going. They are reminded over and over again, because this is not the only squabble. This goes on for an entire book, just so you all know. There's one squabble after another as they move down this journey. But every time, God finds a way to remind the people, I'm there, just like I told you I would be. And yes, this is going to be hard, but it's going to be worth it. And so we hear that. Then we jump forward. We're going to come back to the epistle reading in a second, but let's jump to the gospel. Because we hear Jesus picking up on what happens in Exodus and giving it a new spin, and giving it not really a new spin, but reminding people that that spin is still there. Because, Rabbi, when did you come here? They're literally irritated with Jesus for leaving the crowds and not teaching for a little bit, when Jesus is like, I'm going to take a minute, and I'm going to go over here. And they go in search of him to find him. And so he's a little spent, and his response to them is very direct. And he says, you're looking for me because I fed you last time. And so I invite you to look deeper into what that means. And so the people then ask Jesus for a sign that he is who he says he is. Like, are you going to do something like give us manna? We know that is a sign that was given. And Jesus says, people, I am that manna. That provision in human form, that companionship that resides in the fullness of who Jesus is seen in that passage. Very truly, I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. So Jesus, in that moment, says, it's about giving life. It is about sustaining the love and abundance that is the triune God. And these are texts that we're used to hearing, but they really take on an importance right now in the situation with where we are. And when we juxtapose that with Paul reminding us to lead a life worthy of the calling to which we have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Okay, that seems super easy right now, because we're all so good at that part of the game. And you know, we see these and we realize that these are part of our calling. Because we are being called to care for one another, to maintain the life and the abundance given to us by the Holy One, made manifest in Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. That is our calling in this situation. This is not a political statement, but a statement of faith and of love. And that is a really, really hard thing to remember when people are so polarized by what these things mean. But right now we have people who are ill and dying, and it is our call to do what we can to make sure that that doesn't happen. And in today's readings, we are reminded that we are given the tools to do that. We are given not only the tools, but the strength and the endurance to be able to do the things that are hard. God promises over and over throughout the scriptures, but it really does seem so evident in Exodus right now that when we don't know exactly where we're going or how long it's going to take to get there or what it's going to look like when we do get there, that we're going to do it together and that God is going to be with us while we do. The reason that I added in, you know, there are four texts for every Sunday in the lectionary. There's an Old Testament reading, an epistle reading, a psalm, and a gospel. And often in this church, but in a lot of Presbyterian churches, we often choose one or two of those four readings. Today, I decided to go with three because I knew that the Old Testament and the gospel were a juxtaposition of each other and mirrored each other so well. But let's look at the epistle for a second and remind ourselves that it is kind of a bridge between those two texts. So, this first little part of this reading from Ephesians 4, we hear this a lot when we commission folks and when we ordain them. This is one of the opening sentences that we give. We usually skip the first part of the first verse and just go right to lead a life worthy of your calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. So when we pair that little snippet with the other two texts from today, we're reminded that, yes, there are going to be squabbles, because we hear that both in the Old Testament reading and in the gospel, the people saying, well, what does this mean? What are we supposed to do? Give us exact guidance and show us that this is exactly what's going to happen, and so that we don't have to worry ever again. You know, those are the things that we're saying. But there are going to be moments of uncertainty. We are going to move into the unknown. And when Zach and I were trying to come up with a different piece of music to pair with these texts, that song had not even come close to my head. And Zach looks at me and he says, "Don't throw something at my face." But I think I've figured it out. And I went, "Okay." And he said, "What about Into the Unknown?" And I went, "Oh no, it's perfect." And it really is, because you hear, when you hear it coming from Moses' perspective, if I hear you, which I don't, You know, like Moses is getting quite frustrated. Like, I'm not going to give you enough credit to say that I hear you saying exactly this right now. And that's exactly who Moses is in this situation. Moses is wrestling with the creator of the universe. What a job, you know. But we all do that. And one of the important things to remember here too is that God can handle that. It is okay that we are frustrated and tired of this situation. It is okay that we wish we could move on in a lot of ways. It is okay to be angry with those who don't seem to be doing their part to make that happen. But we do have to remember that all of us are beloved, and there's nothing we can do about that. As annoying as that may be, all of us are beloved by the Holy One. And these texts scream that loud and clear. So I invite us, as we move through our frustration, to remember that. And to remember that we are called in this situation to continue to act for justice, to continue to proceed with mercy and love in all things. Because we have been given manna from heaven, both physically and spiritually, to do this thing that we need to do. So I invite us to lead a life worthy of our calling. In the waters of baptism, we claim that for who we are. We claim that for who God is, who God was, and who God is going to continue to be. That is the life worthy of our calling. It's not an easy one. But that's where we are. So it's okay to be frustrated. It is absolutely okay. God can take it, and so can we. But we got to be frustrated together. And we got to realize that wherever we are in the journey, God is there. And the journey may change. The journey may be a different length than we think. We may end up in a different location than we think. We may end up in a different situation. But God is in the midst of that. And that, friends, will not change. You're going to hear another technically secular song, but convince me of that when we sing it a little bit later. You're going to hear another one for the benediction response entitled Home. And I invite you to hear those words, knowing that wherever we are, God does reside with us, and that we are in fact home because of the connection that we have in the Holy One. And so that is our call today, friends. The rest of our liturgy today centers around that. And may we remember that as we figure out what this next phase is going to look like. Because in all things, God is there, and we are there, and we're in this together. Thanks be to the triune God. Amen.